Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is your host, Monk. You can find out more at the website allbook-books.com. So this week, a glimpse into the behind the scenes of writing is the publishing and printing world. The mechanisms that bring the creative aspects to the fore, aside from the digital facility now, which you can write something and be posted online in the snap of a finger. Sometimes it's slower to get printed. I was speaking with a printer that I used for many years, a woman-owned company that's been around, I think they're in their 46th year. And normally when proofs of a book are okayed, books would be ready and shipped within a couple of weeks. Recently, and in the foreseeable future, the account rep told me that's up to 6 weeks. The reason being is that they are super busy because of a combination of the virus times and more people are home. She said book sales have gone up. Plus, some smaller print shops have closed due to the virus and the economy. So that's interesting to find out. And there's also, for a while, there's been recently a paper shortage, which has raised the cost of the papers 15%. So after hearing that, the same day, an online interview show I like to watch called On Contact with the host Chris Hedges. He's interviewing an author, and this is how the blurb for the show starts. This is not a good time in America to be a writer. The printing and traditional publishing sector has shed over 134,000 jobs during the Great Recession. Between 1998 and 2013, the book publishing industry lost 21,000 jobs. Periodical publishing cut 56,000 jobs, and the newspaper industry shed 217,000 jobs. Digital technology has replaced the vital connection between sellers and buyers that once made news magazines and newspapers profitable. Writers struggle to make a living as freelancers, part-time employees, contractors, or in temporary fellowships. They often lack job stability and health and retirement benefits. The economic distress for writers, including novelists and poets, increasingly replicates the distress writers endured during the Great Depression, many of whom were only able to eat and pay the rent because of the New Deal's Works Progress Administration's Federal Writers Project, created in 1935 to give work to unemployed writers, editors, and research workers. The Federal Writers Project employed 6,600 men and women and rescued the careers of some of the country's most gifted writers, including Richard Wright, Claude McKay, Saul Bellow, John Cheever, Conrad Aiken, and James Agee. But there is no such support today. An entire generation of writers is being sacrificed under the hammer blows of a digital revolution, and the collapse of print. So that's a fascinating bit. Upside, or the different angle of it, is that the digital and online and desktop publishing has allowed, you know, virtually anyone to, with some minimal costs, to get their work out there. So I see that obviously as a positive sign. And the whole stigma of self-publishing has changed since I started doing it around 2003. A few times I went to, a library with one of my first books, and they asked, oh, have you been reviewed by the New York Times? And otherwise, basically, we don't want to look at your stuff. And I walked away, and I still remember thinking to myself, being of white skin and a somewhat privileged background, that, I imagine this is what minorities have dealt with for centuries, that kind of brush off for some reason that you don't fit their protocol. But as the years have gone on, now self-publishing is much more acceptable. Even various contests have self-publishing departments. So it is a viable way to get your work out there. And I do some of both. I mostly help people self-publish because I lack the distribution. So it varies from project to project. Basically, with social media, I was talking to a guy like around 29 years old at a vegan fair, and After I gave him about 30-minute spiel about what I've learned about publishing over the years, he told me his first book, he had sold 1,000 copies using social media, and I was like, dude, I should get some lessons from you. So if you're hooked up and as a writer, you have the connections and the people and, you know, you're willing to do that legwork, there are viable ways to get your work out there. And some of it just depends on the topic and the timing and people's interests and who you can reach. So along with the digital way to get your work out there through online publications, even ebooks, PDF versions, there still is the physical copy, which oftentimes does make a difference, especially as far as niche kind of marketing and reaching people on a local level. I find that sometimes people that, you know, online, they don't know what's going on or who it is, but in person, they see the book, they see the person, there's more of a chance to for someone to purchase a book meeting face to face. So I think my experience is that a balance is necessary nowadays, a little bit of both, and whatever works. It's hard to put all the eggs in one basket. There are still bigger name publishers. There are tons of small press and kind of mid-size publishers. You can look at Poets and Writers. Their magazine website has umpteen hundreds of small press publishers, myself included, and then there are other bigger names. So it's anywhere from getting a deal with a big publisher to a smaller publisher to promoting your own work. It all depends on how much effort you want to put into it and maybe how much money you want to put into it and other choices that go into the process. But one thing that does not go away, no matter what the technology, no matter what the way the trends go, is good writing and good editing. Because that is the bare bones and the heart and the meat and the soul of a good writing, is that those qualities. So a lot of journalism today is just spewed replicas of the same thing coming out of, say, Reuters or AP or the mainstream media, where there's nobody even goes to the sites. It's just some article, not even appropriately quoted, just, you know, terrible journalism, and that gets spewed out as authority figures to all the newspapers, which is the opposite of investigative journalism. But that's a whole nother topic. Basically, there's a talking about the general book publishing and the different aspects that go into it. And since I'm talking about publishing and writing and the way books get made and paper, that is one of the themes of my current book, Moving Through the Empty Gate Forest, Inside Looking Out, which is available at my website or at book signings, is some of the origin of the book that I researched and how, in general, humanity has lost touch with the trees and the plants and favored the book, which is where the books get made. So we're kind of trying to catch up with ourselves, and that was some of the urgency I felt in putting the book together. While I'm promoing, I also do editing, either freelance or for your project. So the combination of those is, and the actual working with various pub print shops is part of what I do and part of what All Book Books is. I've actually had people, sometimes the confusion, I've actually had people think that because I publish that I print the physical books, which is only partially true, because I from time to time do make homemade chapbooks, which is basically a saddle stitched, which means stapled booklet, which you too can make at home. It does take a bit of puzzle of a work, but it is an excellent viable way to get out your first book, anywhere from a poetry book from, you know, 4 to 16 pages to about 44 or 50 pages, sort of the max you can go with stapling a book. So whatever your talents, whatever your dreams and goals, it's a combination of those and the technical skills and costs that go into all that can help get your work out there and, you know, if not online, out there in the, quote, physical world. So thank you for listening and have a good one. Be well.